Welcome to Fire Engineering Podcasts, where each day you'll hear a variety of voices speaking on timely topics facing the American Fire Service. The best way to keep up with fire engineering is via our free daily e-newsletter. Learn more at fireengineering.com/e-newsletter.
Good evening and welcome to this episode of Fire Engineering, the Future Firefighter Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Baker, and tonight we have an excellent show scheduled. On the show tonight is Mark Lampu. Mark and I have been friends for several years. Mark is a fellow Fire Engineering podcast host of the Firefighter Wellness Radio, and I'm honored to have Mark on the show tonight as we discuss the topic of planning your mental health. Planning your mental health. So for the future firefighters that are out there listening in the audience, it's important to plan your mental health as you're out in the trenches, on the testing circuit, out on the grind, applying for this prized position in the fire service. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Mark onto the show. Mark, welcome.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me on the show.
Mark, I know you're a fourth generation firefighter, and I know you have a lot of experience in the fire service. If you could please just introduce yourself.
Like you said, I'm a fourth generation firefighter from Delaware County, Pennsylvania. I grew up in the firehouse, literally. Like I would go there with my dad, you know. After I got done school, I worked the bingos on Friday night, you know, when I was 10, 11 years old. And I used to run over when my grandfather lived two doors down from the firehouse. So when the whistle blew and I was staying there, my grandfather's, we run over, I opened the doors. You know, I had a uniform as a young kid. You can see a lot of the pictures. It was Linwood Fire Company back then, you know, and me parades holding the sign, you know, at 8, 9 years old with me, my cousins and, you know, uncles and all that. And they actually have an award named after my great grandfather called the John T. Lampu Award, you know, that they give out, you know, for the most dedicated firefighter of that year. So I was a captain with Lower Chichester. It changed in the 90s. I went from Linwood Fire Company. They merged the station to Lower Chichester. So I may say Linwood. I'm used to saying that, but it is Lower Chichester now. And then around 2010, I started getting really heavily involved with helping programs that treat first responders and firefighters with mental and behavioral health issues. You know, my background is in marketing. That's a lot of what I did. I would go out into the country. I would help promote and launch these programs because I used to see, you know, being involved in the fire service, some of the problems that first responders, firefighters struggle with. And I, you know, back in 2010, there really wasn't much going on or places for these firefighters to go. So I started doing that, and in that I was approached by Fire Engineering about 3, maybe 4 years ago now to do the Firefighter Wellness Radio. So I've been doing that show for a couple years now, and I do articles with Fire Engineering, and I've done articles with other magazines in the past, but mostly just Fire Engineering now because they've been really supportive in the work that I've done. They're very supportive in mental and behavioral health of firefighters and getting that message out, you know, because I think a lot of the problem was with firefighters is everybody knew it, the problem existed, but nobody really talked about it or, you know, did anything about it. It was kind of just swept under the rug, or you helped the guy if they were coming, you know, smelling like booze or whatever. And now there's a conversation on it. They're doing a lot more proactive stuff with peer support programs. In order to do that, you need the fire engineerings and stuff like that to help share that message. And they've been really supportive in doing that. So now, you know, I sit as board president of the Institute for Responder Wellness, which is like a resource for first responders to reach out for help. Fire Heritage Center, which is a recent appointment trustee. One World for Life. You know, I also have a website, Responder PTSD, that first responders can go to if they're looking for resources.
Well, thank you for all the work that you do and everything that you've done for the fire service. We've been friends for a long time. We've had several podcasts and discussions. I know this is the first time that you've been a guest on the Future Firefighter podcast. I wanted to thank you for the gift of your time and thank you for being a champion for firefighter wellness. We have to do a better job of taking care of one another. It's something that we've talked about a lot on other podcasts and at FDIC. So for the future firefighters that are out in the audience, the boots, the plugs, the ROP students, we're talking about the high school students, the new college students, the ones that are just like you that were inspired to become firefighters. So let's talk a little bit about the testing circuit. I know you're on the East Coast and I'm on the West Coast, but let's talk about the struggle to become a career full-time firefighter. It took me about 4.5 years. It's about 104 applications. It's a grind. It really is a grind. And for those listeners that are out in the audience, they can relate to this. They know. We're talking about the COVID-19 pandemic, the loss of revenue. A lot of these municipal cities are not receiving the tax base, property tax, sales tax, the loss of revenue. You watch the discussions with the IFC and President Chief Gary Ludwig. There's a lot that's happening across the country between just us, between California and Maryland. A lot of our brothers and sisters have been laid off. Now, with external factors that are happening in the country right now, a lot of municipal departments have also exhausted their overtime budgets. So it really hurts when I see our fellow brothers and sisters laid off. They lose that position. It takes so long to get that position, and it's with seniority, and usually the newer members are the first ones to get laid off. I know you and I have had discussions in the past on the whole topic of firefighter wellness. So I thought this would be a great opportunity for us to get together on the topic of firefighter wellness for the future firefighters, how they can plan their mental health.
I just did my podcast last week, and the guest that I had on was a police chief from California who he runs First Responder Retirement Academy, and he's doing his first webinar because of the COVID on planning your retirement. And he was a police chief through the 2000s, and he was talking about in 2008 when he was a chief and having to go back, and they had to do a bunch of layoffs in the city that he was a chief, and you know how much pressure put on him because he knew how these young guys worked so hard to finally, you know, they're starting families. They work so hard to get this, you know, get the job, and you're going to tell them after they finally got the job, went through all the hiring process, beat out the thousands of other candidates that they were in competition with to get the position, now that they're going to get laid off. And that's kind of what made him retire, you know, is he felt so horrible. Yeah, so, you know, it kind of pushed him to retirement because he saw these young guys, you know, work so hard to, you know, get the job and finally get it and have to lay them off. So, you know, I have a feeling we're going to see a lot of that now, because even as the first responders and firefighters are going to be really needed, the money's not going to be there to hire them. And what that does as well is that puts a lot of pressure on the firefighter, you know, continue to stay on the job, and they're working on light shifts and they don't have the backup that they need. It's like a snowball effect. It affects pretty much every aspect of the job from off and on.
Yeah, definitely. And that's something that's affecting the fire service, public safety, law enforcement. Recently here in California, they've also discussed about teachers and schools and education. And there's also the topic of fire academies and face-to-face instruction, hands-on training, EMT classes, paramedic programs. So with this COVID-19 shutdown, it's affecting not only these students that are trying to get a job, but it's also affecting how to get the job. Mm-hmm. The steps. So a lot of the discussions that I've had with these students has been around staying in school. finishing your AS degree, taking your six FESCI courses to complete your AS degree in fire science, attend a paramedic program. Obviously, right now, we do need healthcare workers, but healthcare workers are also getting laid off because of the fact they're not doing planned surgeries. And it's difficult to get into a paramedic program or a preceptor program because the hands-on face-to-face instruction has been limited due to the CDC and COVID-19. And now we're using more Skype and Zoom and Google Hangouts and virtual classrooms. All of the California Community College classes have now transitioned to online instruction. California State University system is all online instruction for the fall semester. Chico State, a pretty famous school up in Chico, California, this is the first year in their history they did not have a commencement ceremony, graduation. So you talk about this whole topic, and it's affecting a lot of different people, and especially our future firefighters that are out there. And now they're saying that there's an estimated 30,000 possible layoffs in the fire service. 30,000. And that could literally mean that there's not going to be any hiring estimated in the next 10 years.
Yeah, that's going to basically take a whole generation that may have aspirations of wanting to be a firefighter and kind of ruin that chance for them, you know, because if you go through a decade of hiring freezes, by the time they open that up, they're at ages where they might not even be eligible. And the younger guys are going to, you know, have preference because they're going to be able to stay on the job longer.
So huge ramifications with that. I know stories of in the 90s, Prop 13, and I hear the old timers, they would tell us at the kitchen table, you know, how difficult it was in some of those other years, having multiple jobs, having gaps in employment, you know, as far as their resumes and having to move around. You know, we could talk about SAFER grants. I've had friends that have been on SAFER grants with three different agencies. I had a friend that it took him 9 years, three different SAFER grants. He was a veteran, and it took 9 years for him to finally find a home. And so we talk about families. My recent experience, I moved my family to Southern California, and you have to get a house, you have to rent a house, you have to assign a rental agreement, you have to sign a lease, you have small children that are in school, and you have to get them into school, and your spouse has to find employment. So when we talk about what the struggle is that these candidates have to go through, they have to uproot their lives, they have to move, the cost to move, and then they have to get settled. They have families. That's, you know, when you have small children and you have to move, it it affects your spouses and it affects your children.
Sure. Yeah, and a lot, you bring up a good point with that. A lot of business positions, like I just moved my family through COVID. I accepted a position with Maryland Oncology. From Florida up to Maryland to run their 11 cancer centers, the growth and marketing. And a lot of the moving expenses for that is negotiated with companies in a business role. But in the firefighting and public safety roles, you know, as a probationary firefighter and stuff like that, when you move, you're traveling for testing and all that, they don't pay for that. Like, you got to pay for that yourself. That comes out of your own pocket. You know, so you're already probably not making the kind of money that, you know, a veteran firefighter would make going into a position like that. You know, so that stress alone, the financial burden of getting there, getting to the test, getting home, and then, you know, you may have to go back three or four times. We talked about that off air, you know, so you could be traveling across country three or four times all on your own dime. Yeah, that gets stressful in the family. That takes away from a lot of the family things that you want to do because you're dedicated to, getting that position. And then you lose your job because of, issues like this, and you're kind of stuck where you're at,
Yes, yeah, that's expensive. Dry cleaning, your suit, hotel stays, resumes, cover letters, Kinko's, all that is a cost, and it's an investment. If you really think about it, it's an investment. From the time that you apply to your written test to your first panel interview, the chief's interview. I know now with technology, they're doing Skype interviews and Zoom interviews. I know some in California have actually gone to where you don't even meet with a panel. You go into a room where there's a computer and they ask you the interview through the camera on the computer to eliminate bias and eliminate human interaction. They're trying to keep things to more a professional setting where it's on a recorded interview. So that's interesting. And so from there to the chief's interview, to the background interviews, the polygraph, the psych, the medical. I know a lot of agencies here in California didn't know what they were going to do because of the fact that the hospitals, the clinics were closed to having physicals. And so that was interesting. I know some hospitals and clinics have recently opened up to allow for public safety physicals because we need public safety personnel out taking care of Mrs. Smith and taking care of the customers. And I know you've been watching this, Mark. A lot of our brothers and sisters have been affected with COVID. Several of our brothers and sisters and fellow EMT workers have perished, line of duty deaths, from being exposed to COVID and having those exposures, and then unfortunately they've perished due to that on the job occupational exposure. And so I feel for our brothers and sisters that are out there that are taking care of Mrs. Smith, and I feel for those newer firefighters that are trying to get into the fire service that are out on the testing circuit. I think it's important for us to have care and compassion for them. And it's going to be a struggle. I think it's going to be a struggle over the next 10 years for them to get situated.
Yeah, I don't know how it is in California with paid the separation between paid departments and volunteer, but the county I'm from, in Delaware County, there's I think 82 departments in the county. Out of those 82, there's one paid, which is the city of Chester. And Chester would hire maybe every 5 years. So when that testing opened up and I went through the process, I actually got hired in 2000. You take the test with probably 1,000, 2,000 firefighters. Most of them are all the volunteer firefighters from the surrounding counties, Delaware, all around, all compete for these. They hired six positions, when I got hired. And it was brutal. I mean, it's very competitive. And I remember when I got accepted the position, they took six of us the day before I'd start, because it took so long for me to finally get on and actually get hired that I had started another job that was a lot better. And I had to turn it down. And all the guys in my station were like so angry with me that I actually was one of the ones that got the job. And turned it down, after all that time. Even my dad was disappointed. But all those guys go through that competitiveness, in that area, and then they're never going to get another opportunity again for that job. So a lot of them went down to Virginia, Maryland. A friend of mine got hired in D.C. They had to actually leave to actually, to get a paid position, Florida. But as far as California, I think there's a lot more paid departments than there is where I was from.
You know, and that brings up a good point with our volunteers that are out there. And America needs volunteers, especially in this COVID-19 pandemic. As far as the listeners that are out there listening in the audience, get plugged into FEMA, get plugged into Department of Homeland Security, get plugged into disaster healthcare workers. Contact your Office of Emergency Services in California. We have OES and CalEMA. Contact the Governor's Office of Emergency Services in your area. Find out the disaster healthcare workers that are available. If you're a nationally registered EMT or a paramedic, we need healthcare workers. Our healthcare system has been impacted with COVID-19, with the coronavirus. And we need frontline workers that can go out, and that's what America is all about. America, the American spirit, is about taking care of our neighbors and taking care of our community and taking care of Mrs. Smith. So if you're listening in the audience and you're struggling right now getting a job, the best thing that I can offer you, the best suggestion I can give you, is volunteer and get into your community and get plugged in on different programs that are available, and assist your fellow citizens, fellow Americans.
That'll get you the experience too.
Yeah,
you know, that's going to be needed. You know, when the jobs do open up, a lot of the training's available through, I know, like my volunteer fire department, all the fire schools and stuff like that were paid for by the department. So I got a lot of free. It's not free. You're putting the time in, but you know that may be opportunities for you to save money. You know, giving some time to a volunteer department, and in return, you're getting the training and stuff that you're going to need to accept the paid position, and that's a way to save some money.
Definitely, and it looks good on a resume, mm-hmm. and it's a good way to get experience. And as we talk about our volunteer brothers and sisters that are out there, they can't fundraise. They're having a challenge right now as far as fundraising. I've reviewed grants for FEMA for the last 3 years as a volunteer, and I've seen the budgets, and I've seen a lot of departments, 80, 90, 100% of their funding is all from fundraisers.
Uh-huh.
And so with this COVID-19 pandemic, it's really hit our volunteer departments because they can't fundraise.
Yeah.
And they can't do the chili feeds and the bingos and, you know, the tri-tip dinners and spaghetti feeds. I remember doing all those as a volunteer, you know.
I've done them all. I work bingo every Friday night for 20 years, I bet.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I remember, like, every shift would have a rotation, and you would have – it would be your month. And I love the firehouse, and I love cooking and the fellowship and the camaraderie, and it's great times growing up. I can't even imagine your story growing up in that kind of environment and the culture.
Yeah.
The indoctrination to the fire service. So as far as planning your mental health and planning your wellness, we talk a lot about physical. We talk about the CPAT and different agility tests. You know, we talk about the physical aspects of doing the job, but you know, we really don't talk about the mental aspects. You know, you walk out to the mailbox and you open the mailbox and you get a rejection letter.
Huh.
Those hurt, and I have a stack of them. I've saved every one of those rejection letters, and you check. Now it's email, right? Nobody does snail mail anymore. And you got to check your spam folder, and you might get a rejection spam email now.
Yeah.
You know, and it's difficult. So we talk about these laid off brothers and sisters. They're in front of the listeners that are out in the audience, right? So uh-huh. if our fellow brothers and sisters that are getting laid off, we got to get them back to work. And then with retirements, I know there's a lot of retirements right now with the COVID-19 pandemic. You know, that affects the senior members of the fire service, you know, the ones that have done their time.
I have a feeling you're going to have to see a lot of them that planned on retiring in the next year or two, now not, because their retirements took a crash, with everything going on. So these were all potential positions that could have been opening up, and now they're, ones that were seeing, had a retirement at their doorstep, are talking, to their families and saying, now I got to stay around another 5 years because, the impact of this COVID and stuff like that.
So it's crazy times that we're living in, and I heard the expression America 2.0. And really, it's America 2.0. If you really think about it, we're for our generation, we're living the 1920s, and what we're seeing every day is eye-opening. And it's important. You discussed about having a peer support, and we talked off the air about peer support. So can we talk to, about the topic of peer support with the listeners in the audience? I know it's important, as you're out on the testing circuit, it's important to have others that are out there testing to kind of have an ear and almost to have like a cheerleader and have people in your corner to support you. I know it's important to have a spouse and a significant other, family members, parents.
Yeah, but they're not going to understand. I mean, they know, they understand the letdown and the disappointment that when they see that rejection letter with you, but they're not going to understand the internal, drive to, this is not a job for many, this is like a destiny to some, or feel that it is, it's their life. And, the disappointments of continuous rejection letters, that's the beauty with technology now, is the ability to reach out to others that across the country or even local, that, coming up with a buddy system or a peer group that are all on the testing circuit together. You can meet them in groups, all the firefighting groups on Facebook. And having a mentor, so to speak, that you can just talk to, because I'm sure there's somebody out there, I know there is, that has been where you are in that disappointment stage, and even the hiring stage had a plan and stuff like that when you do get selected. Fighting that disappointment and that letdown alone, you're going to find it that much harder.
Those are excellent suggestions. Definitely. I have a saying. I remember, testing in the Bay Area and Oakland, San Francisco, Sacramento, those metro departments. And we would ride BART together. We would do public transportation together, and we would commute together into the city, cross the Golden Gate, and traffic is crazy in the Bay Area. And parking's really expensive, and so we would all link up like atoms. We'd make covalent bonds, and we would share information. We would carpool together, study in the car together. We would debrief after interviews. All those things are very important. And for the listeners that are out in the audience, build those peer support groups with your fellow, maybe cadets from your academy, or maybe fellow volunteers, and have somebody that understands. I know your family members, they're not going to be able to see through your eyes. They feel it. And my wife brought up a good point. It's a great, great suggestion. When you reject a candidate, you're also rejecting their family.
Yes.
And that, when a firefighter gets laid off, it affects their family. When a firefighter gets terminated from probation, it affects their family. And so when we talk about this wellness and planning your wellness, you also have to talk about planning your family's wellness. Because they're right there with you. And when you move your family across the state or the country for a job and it doesn't pan out, that really affects your family. And I know from my experience, you feel like you let your family down. And so that's a good topic that we can discuss.
Yeah, and it's not even it's one thing for the disappointment of the letdown of not getting hired or whatever, but it's that also that internal feeling that you feel like, oh, wow, I'm not smart enough for the job, or I'm not worthy enough, almost like you didn't get hired, but now you internally feel like you're not good enough. Am I not good enough for this job because I didn't get hired? When, it has nothing to do with that. There's a certain amount of positions. There's so many thousands of people hiring, and it's so competitive that, lots of people that should be there don't get hired. It has nothing to do with your ability to do the job or your worthiness to do it.
And I think a lot of people put too much pressure on themselves, and the external pressures and the external factors.
Yeah.
And all that pressure of wanting to succeed and wanting to do good, and to have the heart of a public safety servant, you have to have that care and compassion. And right now, with the struggles that are happening and everything that's going on, I know a lot of people wear their hearts on their sleeves, and they take things critical, and it's hard when you look at life and you look at the next 30 years of your life, and you're planning your wellness around the next 30 years of your career. Try not to take things so critical. Things are happening outside of the control of fire chiefs and mayors and city managers and budgets. And so if you get rejected, you have to keep testing. You have to get back on the horse, and you have to get out there, and you have to keep applying. Life is interesting, and we've all seen the pictures of, it's not a straight road. It's like a roller coaster. It's got its peaks and its valleys. And I know your family is with you in the good times, and your family is going to be with you in the bad times. And it really shows who your true friends are, and your inner circle, and your true mentors, and the people that believe in you, your references. If you have a hard time, and if you're having a hard time, and you're listening to this podcast, reach out to your mentors, reach out to your inner circle, reach out to the people that you trust, like Mark, for example. He'll share his contact information at the end. And if you need help, please reach out. There's brothers and sisters, fellow firefighters. We've been there. We know what it's like, and we're here to help each other, because I believe that's important.
Yeah, there's the one difference, I think, now, and I talk about this a lot on my podcast, than it was years ago, is there's really no excuse for not offering help or kind of getting help, because there are tons of resources available now. I host an online meeting support group, first responder support group, every Thursday night. It's been going on for a year and a half. And ever since the COVID, lots of other ones have popped up. But I was doing it like long before that. You have lots of cities now have support groups that you can go to. I know Sacramento has one every week that you can go for PTSD, mental health issues. Philadelphia area has them. They're out there. There's trainings that you can take advantage of. There's tons of articles and information. And through all that stuff that I put out over the last decade, I was telling you off air, I work in the cancer with cancer now through Maryland Oncology, but I still serve on the nonprofits for behavioral mental health for first responders. But, from all the stuff that I've done over the last decade, I have two or three at least a week reaching out to me for help, whether it be a wife saying, hey, I read your article on fire engineering. My husband or wife is going through this. What do you suggest? Hey, can I come to your meeting? If you Google just firefighter wellness or mental health, you're going to find a ton of information. So the difference from before, there was none of that stuff available, so you had nowhere to turn to. Now it's there. It's getting the message and getting that information. And I think it's a responsibility now for anybody at any department and off, at the volunteers, is to start making that stuff available, whether it be on the company websites, the private Facebook groups of your department that mostly all have on the board at the stations, you know, Thursday night support group at this domain, this training's available. You know, you got to take it upon yourself if you don't see it at your station and put it together for the people that may not be, you know, afraid to speak up.
Definitely, and I definitely want to recognize Fire Engineering and Chief Bobby Halton, the FDIC family, Fire Engineering family, for allowing you and I the opportunity to have our podcasts. And please, for the listeners that are out in the audience, tune into the Firefighter Wellness Radio with my good friend Mark, and come to FDIC. I know FDIC got canceled this year. You know, broke my heart. It broke a lot of people's hearts. I love Indianapolis and I love FDIC, and 35,000 firefighters. We make a pilgrimage to Indy for Indy on Fire, and it's those relationships, getting those hugs and seeing your brothers and sisters and taking classes and the fellowship at St. Elmo's and the firehouse kitchen table and the meals and the podcast, you know, our podcast that we do with FDIC.
Yeah, live.
Yeah, I miss it. And I'm looking forward to next year. So for the listeners that are out there, try to find community. If you're not able to find a community with your fellow brothers and sisters face-to-face, definitely virtual, Facebook and Google Hangouts and Zoom and Skype. Utilize technology to have those support systems and that fellowship. And I definitely want to thank Chief Bobby Halton and Fire Engineering for allowing us the opportunity to be able to have this podcast. We have a lot of people that reach out to both Mark and I virtually by listening to our podcasts. And that's how both of us are able to make a difference. So tune into podcasts, webinars have been on fire,
mm-hmm.
All these free webinars. So tune into these webinars, keep training. These are all things that you can do to stay plugged in and to get help. So Mark, if you could please, if you could just share your contact information and how these future firefighters that are out there that are planning their mental wellness, how they can reach out and contact you.
Sure. So I always try to give my really easy email because I have a bunch of them, but the good best email that you'll probably be able to understand the easiest is mark@360wellness.org. You can email me anytime. I have a website, marklamplew.com. You can also look at my, you know, search for my fire engineering blog page, which is, you know, community.fireengineering.com, and then just look for Mark Lamplew. And you can look for me on Facebook, Firefighter Wellness Radio. It's a Responder TX on Twitter. You know, I'm out there. You can just and look for Mark Lamplew on Facebook. I have lots of guys reach out to me. Yeah, like you talked about the webinars. I'm helping First Responder Retirement Academy. He's got a free webinar June 9th Pacific Standard Time at 10 p.m., you know, so check that out. He's got a lot of good tools. I know this is for a future, but he's got to come on up, so I figured I'd mention it. You know, there's a ton of information in it, and if you can't find something, email me. I'll help you get you plugged in with people.
Thank you, Mark. And, you know, the other thing that we could discuss is the displaced firefighters, the firefighters that have been laid off,
mm-hmm.
The firefighters that have to go back out onto the testing circuit, and the ones that are displaced from the economic and the COVID pandemic, the overtime with the protests and the riots. So for those displaced firefighters that are listening, please reach out to us as well. You know, this isn't just for the future firefighters, but this is for everyone that's trying to get hired in this very competitive and difficult field. There's two great websites that you can go to, not to mention just, you know, Mark's website. But I'm an advocate for the Everyone Goes Home program. I'm the regional manager for Region 9, which is Arizona, California, Nevada, and Hawaii. and the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation, our Life Safety Initiative 13, uh-huh. is psychological support. So that one's very important. So you can go to our website, everyonegoeshome.com, and you could go to Life Safety Initiative 13, which is psychological support. There's a lot of free information. The Fire Hero Learning Network is free. There's a lot of information. So in your area, you can go to Find an Advocate, and you can look up wherever you reside, whatever state. There's advocates in every state. There's advocates in Hawaii, and there's advocates in, you know, California, Oregon, Maryland, you know, all over the country. Another website that you can go to is the First Responder Center for Excellence. And that's firstrespondercenter.org. There's a lot of information on there as far as psychological support for firefighters, EMS, and law enforcement. So that's available as well. So, Mark, I want to thank you for the gift of your time and for coming onto the show. And if you could just provide some advice just for the listeners that are out there as we close up the show.
Yeah, if you're, I always say, if you're out there struggling, before, you know, you do something that may hurt your family, or is a permanent decision that you can't take back, you know, please reach out for help. I've seen a lot of guys that were at that point where they felt like they were at no return and didn't think anything would be able to help them. And they just thought that they had that final answer for suicide, and God help, and, you know, are so thankful internally that they did reach out for help. You know, please at least put it off for 30 days until you talk to somebody, and you know, try to find a light at the end of the tunnel. And I always tell people this, you know, I am not a clinician. When guys reach out to me for help, I help get them to the people that are really going to be able to help them. I can only give you my personal experience, you know, and I've been there over 10 years ago now, which motivate me to help other public safety folks, as I've been at that point where I thought there was no answer. And I got help, and, you know, I give that back. I feel like it's something that I have to do, you know. So please don't pick up the phone, don't send an email, and reach out for help if you're struggling. One of the other websites I wanted to share with you too, it's a new one that I've been putting together for PTSD resources, is responderptsd.com.
Well, Mark, thank you for your friendship and your fellowship over the last several years that we've known each other through Fire Engineering and through mm-hmm. Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
And again, thank you for the gift of your time. And I can't say thank you enough for everything that you do for the fire service and for our brothers and sisters that are out there. And thank you for doing what you do. And it's very important to take care of each other. And as far as our communities and America 2.0, right?
Yeah.
We have to do a better job of taking care of each other, taking care of everyone that are out there that's struggling. And so please remember, Chief Brunicini, be nice, have compassion and care, and remember that everyone is fighting a battle out there. And we all know what those are like, and the peaks and the valleys. So again, thank you, Mark. And I'm looking forward to catching up with you again at the next stop. Hopefully when we can resume and open up the country, and fire conferences are going to be different now with social distancing, and it's going to be interesting how you're going to get 35,000 people in a convention center. You know,
I know everybody's going to have to wear one of those suits. I saw somebody share somebody walking in the supermarket with looked like a moon suit.
Yeah. So, you know, firefighters are so touchy-feely and hugging, and, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how, you know, we're going to have to do the fist bumps or the elbows, or, you know, no more handshaking. You know, it's going to be interesting, but, you know, we improvise, adapt, and overcome. And we'll find a way to make this work and to reopen our country and to continue providing service to Mrs. Smith. So thank you, Mark.
Yep.